All right, we'll call this meeting of the Development Review Board to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Member Crosby?
Here.
Member Dombrowski?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Here.
Ms. Fishman? Mr. Rule? Ms. Ryan? Chairman Martin?
Here.
You have a quorum?
So the first thing on the agenda this evening is to let you know that the Cubs are ahead. The Bulls are having to get from Duke.
A win-win.
Yeah. We have minutes from May 3rd from our pre-filing conference of that day. Does everybody have a chance to look at these? Any questions, comments?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
A second.
Move to second. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right. We have an unusual situation this evening because we have one applicant that has two different applications for amendments to the plan development before us. Because these were filed separately, we're going to deal with them separately. And we will deal first with application 1803, which is Concordia's application to amend the plan development to add some additional height to the parking structure so that they can construct a stealth enclosure for a new cellular antenna. So if everyone who's going to address the board on either of these matters this evening, if you can stand up and get sworn in, please.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matters before this Development Review Board?
I do.
Can I read the admonitions?
Sure.
Okay. Just one comment before we begin. To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine.
And so we're going to follow a normal procedure. The applicant's going to make their presentation. Then we will call on staff for comments on the application. And we'll see if there's anybody in the audience that wants to address us on this particular amendment application. And we will eventually close the public hearing on this application and reach a recommendation. And then we'll begin the second application. So, Mr. Steiner, if you would begin your presentation, please.
Thank you. Lisa, I'm sorry, it's the pedestrian walkway. If we could just get the Verizon one, please. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, members, for taking time to meet with us this evening and to hear our presentation. We do have, as necessary, a couple representatives with us tonight, from one from Verizon, Mark here in the blue, and Tom from the design firm, Tara, in the sport coat there. And so if there are any real technical questions, we have them signed in and we will ask them to come up to the mic, because I am certainly not a technical person on cellular telephone communications. Question, why are we doing this? We're doing this to improve Verizon coverage in the area. We think that it is of a benefit to our campus community, for our students and our faculty and our staff. We also see it as a benefit to the surrounding community, because in our area of the village, there is no other carrier, no other Verizon tower close. And so coverage in our area is not so good if you're a Verizon customer. The existing parking garage has two carriers on it and has had, we received approval for them in 2010. We have a T-Mobile site and we have an AT&T site. They are on the southwest and northwest corners of our parking structure. We do believe that our application is compliant with the village code, and we hope that you'll find it that way also. So this construction project is going to put a stealth enclosure that will take the height of the southeast corner of our garage from approximately 44 feet up to approximately 54 feet. And that stealth enclosure will match the building facade in that section. And we think that it will blend in nicely and not be obtrusive or problematic for neighbors or residents in the community. On the screen is a before and after picture of that section of the installation, and as you can see, the top image is without. That's as it is today. And the lower image is as it will be going forward. The next image is the second piece of the installation. So on the stair tower that is to the west, on the same end of the parking garage where the T-Mobile site is, they are going to construct an antenna array that hangs off of the west face. And so the west face would be seen from the interior of the campus. And so this would not be visible from the street or to any surrounding residents. And if I do this right, well, there you can see the red arrow points to the notch out. And I know from a distance where you are, it may not be easy to see on the screen, but in your book, there is a photo that shows that notch out on the west side of that stair tower. And so they'll be working in two places, one on the southeast corner of the garage where the stealth enclosure will go, and one location on the west staircase where that, and that is a stealth enclosure also. That notch out will match the existing facade of that stair tower also on the west side. The location that has been selected on level 5 does require one parking space, and so the university is committed to adding one surface parking space at another location on the campus so that we do not impact our parking capacity as a part of this project. Verizon is requiring its own fiber and will bring it in underground via their own fiber box in the parkway and their own raceway into the site. And that was the subject of an amendment to this application after we submitted it yesterday. The amendment came through. And so that change is different from what's in your binder, but I believe that you were sent the material for that amendment. So we will be giving them permission to add to our property that second raceway. In our application, there's a letter from Grimes Real Estate where they did a report on the community and any impact, adverse impact, that this may have, and they did not find that that there would be any adverse impact on the surrounding community. We do not anticipate any increased demand upon village services. Based on when we went through the technical review with the village staff, the police chief, Jim, indicated that he felt because of the improved Verizon coverage in the area, I guess the police department runs on the Verizon network in town, and so he felt like their communication would be greatly improved in our section of the village because of this installation. So we think that's of a benefit. Verizon, in your application, there is a letter from Verizon assuring their financial capacity to build this site. The university is not investing any of its own money in the construction. Verizon is handling that. So we believe that they have the financial capacity to complete the project. At this point, I would pause and take any questions that you might have. I don't really have much other technical information to share with you. I'm happy to try to answer any questions and or bring some of these other folks who are here with us up to discuss the matter with you.
The west staircase, is there not enough room in the existing enclosure to fit that antenna? I mean, you mounted it to the side of it.
I'm going to take a shot at this, and then you let me know if I'm not on the right track, okay? They're looking to go in three different directions with the antenna array. And because of the location and the overall height, they can get two in on the southeast corner. But they cannot put the third in without basically having the antennas RF signaling going right out into where the cars are and where people would be. And so the two that go off the parking structure are fine, but the third one cannot go there. And that's why they had to come to this west-facing location. That's the direction that they cannot achieve in their stealth enclosure at the southeast corner. And so they have to be on the west face. Now, does that seem, is that?
Yes.
There you go.
If you'd like to add to that, please, come on up.
Yeah. And when you approach the microphone, please introduce yourself each time so that for purposes of the recording, we can keep a record of who's speaking. Thank you.
I'm Tom Zimmerman with Terra Consulting Group, the lead consultant, design consultant for the project for Verizon. I believe you were also asking why it's outside the structure.
Right.
Okay. T-Mobile is located on the inside of that existing stealth enclosure, and they have existing equipment and cabinets. They have all their radio equipment and their antennas up there, and there's no room in there to actually fit Verizon's antennas and transmit them out. So.
Other questions, please.
Could you please tell us what's the current height of the structure? I think you said it's about 44 feet, and then what the height of the structure will be after the improvements. I believe you said it was about 54 feet.
That is correct. So the parapet, the parapet, which in the upper photo is the top edge of the southeast corner, is approximately 44 feet. Their enclosure goes up approximately 10 feet to about 54.
And the exact dimensions are reflected in the application drawings?
I believe that they are, yes.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. They're in Section 8. Would you like us to reference that out of the app? We'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, it would be helpful to put it on the record since
We'll pull the exact page for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's referenced in Section 8 of the application, and then within that are the drawings, and it's sheet labeled ANT. It's sheet labeled ANT-1. And that shows the elevations of the stealth enclosure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The letter that you submitted to us assuring us that the project could be completed because of the financial viability of the company is dated a little over a year ago. Can you bring us up to date, or can somebody tell us that the financial ability of Verizon to complete this project has not changed in the past 13 months?
Mark, can you, if you could comment to that, you should come to the mic and introduce yourself and do so.
Hi, good evening. I'm Mark Lane. I'm with Insight Real Estate, and we are Verizon's site acquisition vendor for this project. I guess I would say two things. We could ask Verizon to update the letter for you with the current date if you'd like that. Obviously, the financial position of Verizon has not decreased since last year. It's probably improved, but. If you'd like,
but you don't have any knowledge.
I don't have any. I can't speak for Verizon.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Steiner, where is? I think even our consultant raised the issue about this parking. Mm-hmm. Where tell us where this additional parking space is going to be on the campus, so that we know that we're satisfied with that.
Along the south edge of the current track stadium, there is quite a wide section there. We park our fleet vehicles there today across next to the building. And so just to familiarize you, we will add one stall across from our maintenance building for another car to be parked there.
Okay.
And again, that's along the south edge of the track.
In a letter from the Director of Public Works, he talks about the way his comment of that it may take up two spaces, the way the door is going to open, or it's on this matter of page.
If I could, the door opens into an adjacent parking space. It opens in that direction. And so if there's a car parked too close, they might have trouble getting the service door open.
Yeah.
And so then we would have to try to locate the driver of that vehicle and have it moved. The one thing that we do typically have in our agreements on these other cell sites, and I believe in this one, I don't have even a draft copy of that with me tonight, but they usually give us a 48-hour notice, unless it's an emergency, to come out to the site. And so even today, for the other carriers, we usually block off a couple spaces for them for their service vehicles when they come to do routine maintenance, et cetera. So we would extend the same courtesy to Verizon and try to handle it that way in an effort to not impact another parking space.
Okay. Yeah.
And we did inquire about moving that door to the north so that it would not open into a parking space. Unfortunately, that's right in the center of, or not in the center of, but on the one edge of an array where you cannot safely walk into the site while it's turned on. So they cannot put the door there. That was our hope, but didn't happen.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us right now?
Thank you for listening.
Okay. All right. So now we'll ask the village staff to comment on the application. You have some letters, Lisa, that we should make part of the record?
Sure. I have memos from the chief of police and the fire chief indicating that the application will have no impact on village operations. I also have two memos from the public works department, the public works director. One is dated May 30th, 2018. It raises the question regarding access to the array into the stealth enclosure through the parking space that Mr. Steiner just addressed. However, aside from that, the project will have minimal impact on the Public Works Department and their ability to deliver services to the community. In response to a modification to the application that was made on June 20th regarding Verizon needing to place a new handhole adjacent to an existing handhole in the parkway, the Public Works Department also reviewed this, and in a memo dated June 20th, 2018, indicated that this modification to the application will not create any significant impact to the village's infrastructure or the public right-of-way, and there's no objection to the proposed installation and modification of the application.
Mr. Hausseel, do you have some comments for us real quick?
John Hausseel, Village's planning consultant. It's from a planning perspective, there's really no impact. It doesn't change the intensity of the operation or the character of the operation of the university. From a zoning perspective, the one thing you may wonder about, and we can check with staff on this, but it's a 10-foot height increase to the southeast corner of the structure, but the reason it doesn't, going from basically 44 to 54 feet, 54 feet is higher than the zoning district permits. However, if you look at the southwest corner, they're already at 64 feet, all right? So it's going higher in the southeast corner, but it's not going any higher than the highest point of the structure. And the village, when we grant a site development allowance, it's given to the highest point of the structure. So previous site development amendments to this structure already had established 64 feet as the highest point of the structure on the southwest corner. So while the southeast corner is going up, there's no need for an additional site development allowance because it's already 10 feet higher on another corner. So the site development allowance is given for the structure, not different pieces of the structure. So it requires a site development allowance because it's a modification to the plan development and to the facade of the building and the elevations. But it doesn't require an SDA because it's still 10 feet lower than the southwest corner. The bump out on the west side is de minimis, to say the least, and will only even be seen by people on the campus. No public rights of way and no adjacent properties will even see that little bump out on the west side. In fact, you'd have to be craning your neck to look up to see it even if you were a student. So from a planning intensity or use perspective, there's no impact. From a zoning perspective, while it's a modification to the appearance of the structure and the height of the southeast corner, it doesn't alter the maximum height of the structure because the southwest corner is already 10 feet higher. So no site development allowance is required. And the amendment that was submitted yesterday for the boring, it puts a new sort of what they call a handhole in the parkway. If you look at the picture for the submittals, there's no impact from a zoning perspective even at that location because nothing is above grade. It's at grade and below. And that doesn't impact it by zoning. So so the modification that came in yesterday has no impact either.
So when you get a chance, look at your memorandum. I think in the paragraph under parking structure appearance, the second line, I think you got southeast and southwest mixed up.
Okay, let's take a look.
We're talking about an additional 10 feet height at the southeast corner.
Yeah, but it's is less than the overall existing height of the structure at 64 feet at the southwest corner.
Yeah, before that it says will result in an additional 10 feet in height at the southwest corner. That's not what we're talking
about. No, it's the southeast corner is the additional 10 feet. The height of the southwest corner
doesn't change. Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah. Anything else you want to tell us?
That's it.
Any questions from the board or Casio? Thank you. Any other reports from staff?
The village attorney.
Yeah, so I'd just like to make a note, and it has no legal import because the application doesn't have to be amended. The notice was adequate, but the village planner and I have a slight disagreement about the need for a site development allowance. Previously, there was a relief granted for the parking garage up to 64 feet, but that approved that part of the structure. The SDA doesn't allow the university to build within that box as they see fit. They need to prove that they have the authority, or rather that they are entitled to a site development allowance now for 10 feet over where the structure currently is at. The draft findings are proposed with that in mind. The legal notice that was published is adequate. I believe that their application materials address all the standards in a way that relate to the need for the additional height, but I just wanted to note that on the record because your proposed findings do include the granting of an SDA for this part of the structure that exceeds the allowable
zoning. That's what the whole application was about, isn't it? They want to add the additional 10 feet height right to the southeast corner.
And there is a trigger in the ordinance that a modification of a structure subject to a planned development always has to come before you, which is why they're here anyways. Right. So they must come before you. So it's a whether or not the SDA, you know, should be listed out is irrelevant in some ways because the notice is adequate. The application addresses all the same standards regardless of whether the SDA is listed in your findings. But when you look at the draft findings, it includes the recitation that you're granting a site development allowance for height. When I reviewed this matter, speaking with staff, I determined that was the correct procedure to follow.
I defer to the attorney's legal interpretation.
Can you put that on the record, John?
All right, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address the board concerning this application for the parking structure? All right, there's nobody that wants to address us, so Mr. Steiner, anything else you want to tell us?
No, sir.
Okay. So we'll close the public portion of the hearing on this application, this proposed amendment, and we'll have our discussion. Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Right, so Mr. Dombrowski moves that we recommend to the village board that this amendment to the plan develop application be approved.
Yes.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
All right, any discussion? Okay, you want to call the roll?
Sure.
And remember, when you're voting, we're asked to make a finding whether or not the application satisfies the various standards that we're supposed to address.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes, and I think that they told us where they're going to put the additional parking spot that's going to be lost.
Chairman Martin?
Yes, I think that the standards have been met. So there were some proposed findings of fact submitted. I haven't read these yet. I don't know whether you guys have or not. We're going to meet next week, so perhaps we can just defer the findings of fact until the meeting next week.
Okay.
Is that all right with everybody?
Yep.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
No, that's fine. The staff will include the approval of the findings on the agenda for June 28th.
Right.
I assume at the start of the meeting,
right,
before the next set of hearings begins.
Right. All right, so that concludes the hearing on the application to add the cellular antenna to the parking structure. So now we have another application from Concordia dealing with a proposed amendment to construct a one-story enclosed walkway between the Christopher Center and the West Annex building. So is everyone who's going to, anybody who's going to talk to us tonight on this, have you already been sworn in? Okay. So, Mr. Steiner?
Thank you. For the record, Glenn Steiner with the university. Recently, we renovated the first floor of the West Annex on our campus. And that led to us putting in a new exit way on the west side of that building, which went out into an open, very small open courtyard area directly adjacent to another building on the campus. And we had originally intended to put a covered canopy in that space to just provide some shelter from the elements as people move. We have quite a bit of traffic that moves between these two buildings. And we had a donor step forward and indicate that they would like to see that be an enclosed pedestrian walkway. We are very happy to see that. We're very, very pleased that the donor stepped forward to do that for us. The approximate value is $400,000 to construct this pedestrian walkway. The details are in the application. We believe the application is compliant with the village code and standards. Wanted to just address a comment that came to us, I believe, at the last meeting on handicap access. We had, prior to that meeting, visited with Cliff Raddatz from the village about handicap access. And subsequent to the last time we were with you, we visited with Cliff again, and he was clear on both occasions that not every entrance to a building requires the handicap accessibility. And so for both the West Annex and for the Christopher Center, the two buildings that are being connected, they both have alternate handicap access. And so we believe that the structure as we're showing it does not require handicap accessibility as a part of it for either building, that requirement is already met in other ways for both buildings. And so felt it important to clarify that this evening. This would provide a very nice new entranceway for us on the entire south string of buildings along our campus. Basically, you'd be able to go inside from the Christopher Center, which is located at the far west end of the campus, to the library, which is located on the far east edge of the campus, completely inside without having to be out in the elements, etc. So that we feel like this is a very nice improvement for us from that perspective. We also think, and we hope that you agree, that the plans as they're shown will provide an attractive pedestrian walkway. It is a lot of glass and bronze metal framing, and so we feel like it'll be an attractive addition to the campus. It is a single-story structure, and the other question I know that I think it came from you about the exact dimension at the last meeting. Our drawings were in flux. 1411 wide is the exact dimension, and that is reflected in the drawings that are in the application. So we wanted to make sure we address that. This pedestrian walkway is designed on a smaller version of the pedestrian walkway connection that this group approved about a year and a half ago for the addition of Concordia Hall. We built a pedestrian walkway between Concordia Hall and an existing Mary Martha Hall at that time. And so while they're not the same size as each other, they are designed with the same level of finish and look, basically. I know that's not good, right? Jan's an architect. That's not a good way to say it, is it? They will look and feel the same as you enter them, and we think that they are. We think that it would be very attractive. The construction time frame is about 10 weeks, start to finish, and we're very much hoping to be able to start in the late summer or early fall with the project and complete it before the weather gets too cold and before the snow flies in the late fall. So we're hoping again to get moving on it. It is located, and there are pictures of this in your application, and we'll bring one up here. There's its location in yellow between the two buildings. This is the Christopher Center on the left, and the West Annex is on the right. So we just to put it in perspective, we're about 315 feet from Augusta Street. So it's very far into the campus. We don't believe that it will be obtrusive or unattractive or disruptive to the neighbors and the surrounding community based on its location. We certainly think that even if it was right out near the street, that it's going to look so nice that people would like it even if it were there. Subsequent to our last meeting, I mentioned that our drawings were in flux at that time and we had to correct a dimension. What came to our attention from the contractor is that there is one tree which is in the way of the construction. And at the time we were here before, we had no landscaping plans because we didn't think that we were going to need to do anything. But with this tree in the way, to remove a tree, you have to add back in equal caliber the replacement trees. And so our plans now reflect that. We're going to put in one Sergeant Crab tree and two Chanticleer pear trees to replace the I believe it's a small elm tree that we have to remove that's in the way. And so that is a change from the last time we were here, but we wanted to assure you that we are fully intending to meet the village code and standard on tree removal and tree replacement for our project. This is an image from inside the pedestrian walkway. You're looking at the West Annex. So you're facing east. I know that's a little funny, right? It's the West Annex, but you're looking east in this image. And then this image, you're standing north of the proposed link. And so the West Annex, in this case, is on the left, and the Christopher Center is on the right.
Are those doors on the north side of that passageway?
Yes, sir. There's also a single door that will occur, and you can just see it a little bit. There. That door will be an emergency egress out of the playground. So we have children who play in the playground between the buildings directly south of this proposed enclosure. Today there's a metal fence there. There's a fence at each end of the play area. In this case, the fence is basically on the far line of this new structure. And so there's a gate there that allows the children to come out, and so we're going to provide a means for the children to still come out of that space if they have to, through the pedestrian walkway and then out into the rest of the campus. And so we're basically mirroring the function of the gate that is there today. And then these doors will allow passage into the pedestrian walkway where you can then go either direction into either building, but you will not be able to gain access to the playground from here.
I was there today, and you know, in addition to the being 300 feet off of Augusta, there are two metal fences that are, you know, that block in part block the structure, and there's trees and shrubberies in between the parking lot and where the structure is going to be.
That's correct. Yes.
Does the So the door, that single door you're talking about, is for means of egress for the children to come into this new space, right?
That is correct.
And so it's like right now with those gates, I believe they have like a child lock type system so the kids can't just wander out. Do you plan on doing that for the door or the doorway out? You know, some kind of locking system for the kids? They just can't open the door and walk out without an adult.
Right. The teacher will have to be with them to get through that door, either via card access or a key that the teacher would have. We haven't decided that level of detail yet, but the teacher will have to take them through, just like occurs today, that if they come out through this area, the teacher does have to be with them. And then in today's condition, if you're standing on this side of that fence, that gate is locked to anyone standing there. Now, a teacher, in today's environment, it's a key lock in the gate that allows the teacher to take the children back into the play area. And so in the future, they'll have access through that door if they want to take the children back into the play area as well.
During construction, 10 weeks, school will be back in session. What about construction, you know, taking out parking during it all?
What we did when we had the renovation of the West Annex, which is this building right here, is that we have just to the north of this area near the south end of the track, well, there's that wide-out section. We allowed people to park there, but there's also a large bus parking area in there that we use for visiting teams and so forth. And so during the day, that's available, and we use that area for construction workers. And so in the very recent past, we parked the construction folks not on the street and not off our campus, but on the campus in these two areas that are not very far away from where this project will be.
Is the glass tinted to match the buildings or not?
It does have a tint to it. It's not completely clear, but it's not very dark either. And so I don't know what shade you would call it. I don't know. The answer is it has a very very light tint to it. It almost, I don't want to call it indistinguishable, but low E coating on the glass. Other questions, please.
Tell us again about the financing. Is the fight? Do you have the money in hand? Is it pledged to you? What assurances do you? If you don't have the money in hand, what assurances do you have that the money will be forthcoming? If it's not forthcoming, does Concordia have sufficient funds to complete the project?
So the donor wrote the check and gave it to us, and we cashed it, and we have the money in hand.
No. Right. Again, can we hear the comments of the village staff, please?
Sure. I have a memo from the police chief and the public works director and the fire chief indicating that there will be no impact on the village's ability to deliver services as a result of the construction of this new building, and that there is no opposition or major concerns that cannot be addressed through the building permit review and compliance with building code. So there's no objection to the project.
The fire chief raised an issue about signage. Has that been discussed with you?
It was discussed during the technical review meeting with Concordia officials, and if I recall the discussion correctly, I don't think Concordia had any problem with what the fire chief was requesting.
Correct. We're in agreement.
Okay, so you're going to comply with whatever the fire chief has asked you to do?
As we always do. I wish he was here.
Seal, you want to talk to us about this one?
Good
John Halseal, Village's planning consultant. This will be even briefer than the last one. It's connecting two existing buildings. It doesn't intensify or change the use of the university. It enhances the pedestrian environment on the campus for students and any guests who may be on the campus. It really is almost invisible from any adjacent properties or public rights of way. I suppose in January, on a clear day, if you park just right on Augusta and look north when there's no foliage or people out, you may be able to see it, but likely not. So it has no impact visually. It has no impact in terms of functionality on the campus or the surrounding properties, and it's perfectly in keeping with the zoning and the comprehensive plan and the PRI district. So no impact at all.
This is a building under our code, is that right? Is that why we're here?
It's a building under the code. That is exactly correct. So even though it is it's a space by that are occupied by people as they pass through it, even though it's not a programmable, active, or occupied space like other university buildings, it technically meets the definition of building, so that's why it's here. Yeah.
Do you agree with Mr. Steiner's analysis that if there are other ADA-compliant entrances to both these buildings, that this structure doesn't have to be ADA-compliant?
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. Whenever we work on plan review in River Forest or other communities, a building has to be ADA-compliant. It doesn't mean that every single ingress and egress to a building has to be ADA-compliant, so I agree with that interpretation. But I would defer to anything the attorney says with regard to legal interpretation.
I've not been asked to review that, but if you'd like input, yeah. I'd need time to generate an opinion.
And no SDA is required for this one, correct?
Correct.
Oh, there you go.
All right, so in your opinion, this structure complies with the village comprehensive plan?
Absolutely. Again, a couple of different things. It doesn't change the use or the intensity of use of the campus. And one of the primary goals of the comprehensive plan, as stated with regard to our village's institutions, is to make sure we have the very best institutions we possibly can as a community to offer to any River Forest resident or anybody visiting our community, and to make sure that our institutions remain the very best quality institutions they can. Again, this improves the pedestrian environment and connectivity of the campus, so this is only an increase in the quality of the institution, which is a stated objective of the comprehensive plan. So.
Any other questions for Mr. Halseal? Thank you. All right, is there anyone here in the audience that wishes to address the board on this application? Mr. Steiner, is there anything else that you want to talk to us about?
Just thank you again for taking time on this application.
All right, then we're going to close the public portion of the hearing on this application to amend the plan development, and we will discuss and make a recommendation. Anybody have any comments on this? Concerns? Any problems with it?
No, I don't. I think it's appropriate. You know, architecturally, I think it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right, Mrs. O'Brien has made a motion that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that we approve this proposed amendment to the plan development ordinance. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? Want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Ms. O'Brien?
Yes, and I think the standards have been met.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes, and I concur with Mrs. O'Brien that each of the standards has been met. All right, so the recommendation of the Village Development Review Board to the Board of Trustees will be the approval of this project also, and we will defer the findings of fact till our next meeting so that we can review them. Anything else that we need to do? Okay. We have a motion to dismiss.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Dismissed. All right. Next Thursday is liable to be a little longer.
Okay. So. And it's not here, right?
Correct. It's at the OPRF room, which is on the second floor of the you'll have to help me with the pronunciation. I know it's KCC, but
Kankakee Community Center.
At
so it's
Concordia
right next
University.
To the parking garage, the building just west of the garage on the second floor.
There is also on the village's website, if you look under, I believe it's Life and River Forest, there's a guide to planned developments. There's a link to the Lake and Lathrop planned development itself. There's also a link to the campus map at Concordia so the public can find the building a little bit easier.
Okay. See you next week, Pete.
Okay.